world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. Thank you so much. I love that song. I wish that song was on our CD, but it's not, so don't even ask. Verses here, in verse 21 it says, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides the women and the children. So I don't know, there could have been 12 or 15,000 people there, and we all know that the women and the children eat a lot more than the men do. So this is a bigger miracle, I think, than we sometimes give Jesus credit for, but I think that's the coolest miracle, right? These people there, they're on the mountainside, Jesus has been teaching and preaching to them for a long time, they get hungry, and then this little kid walks up with his little sack lunch from the dining hall, and he says, here you go, right? And Jesus takes that bread and fish and multiplies and feeds all those people. That was pretty amazing. And, you know, the group of men that were there and saw that happen and helped Jesus with the performing of that miracle were his disciples. The Bible says that there were 12 baskets full. I believe that all 12 of Jesus' apostles were there with him just simply because of that number 12. Now, it's important that we understand there's different groups of people in the New Testament. So there's the world. They were the unbelievers. Then there was the multitudes. The multitudes were the people who came to see what Jesus had to say. And then there was the disciples. The disciples was a large group of people that came out from the multitude because they not only wanted to hear what Jesus had to say and see what Jesus could do for them, they wanted to see what they could do for Jesus. Amen. So the multitudes were looking at, what can Jesus do for me? The disciples were looking at, what can I do for Jesus? And then there's another group that came out of the disciples. And those are the apostles, the 12 that Jesus chose and ordained them and gave them power. They were the group of people that not only did they come to see what Jesus could do for them and what they could do for Jesus, but now they are a group of people that came out from among them that wanted to be like him and followed him and studied him and did their best to live and act and interact just like Jesus would. And I believe those 12 apostles were there that day at that feeding of the 5,000. And as soon as that finished, we come to verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship, which ship? This is the one that the disciples are in. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. I can't imagine what that must have been like. I had the opportunity one time to to go deep sea fishing in the Gulf of Alaska. How many of you ever seen those TV shows? The what do they call it? Where they fish for crabs or whatever out there? The Greatest Catch or Deadliest Catch? Deadliest Catch. And you see those big, huge ships out there that are crashing on those waves and all that. We weren't in one of those big old boats. We were in a boat that was about 29 feet long, and we took off from Resurrection Bay in Seward, Alaska. And we went out, and it was a beautiful morning. But it wasn't beautiful for very long, because pretty soon the clouds came in and the wind picked up, and by the time we got out of the security of the bay, the waves were crashing at like 9 to 12 feet. And in a 29-foot boat, that's pretty substantial. So we're literally holding on for dear life. And the boat would go up over the wave, and then it would crash down. And then go up over the next one, and it crashed down. And this was going on for like 3 hours until we got out to the fishing grounds. And so, we're like holding on, and I had a men's tour group with me. It was great. Some of them were feeding the fish over the side of the boat. It was awesome. I'm just holding on and praying, Lord, please help us to survive and get through this thing. So, and that was in the middle of the day. I can't imagine what that would have been like at night. The disciples were here on this ship, in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night, when a storm came. And the Bible says that the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, which would have been like between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Now listen, I've heard the disciples criticized for that. But I gotta tell you, if I was in a ship, in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the storm, and I saw some dude walking towards me on the water, I'd probably cry out for fear too, Pastor. I probably think it was a spirit, it was like the Grim Reaper coming forth to carry me home. I don't know what it is. I'd be a little afraid too. But straightway, verse 27, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter, I love Peter. We could talk all night about Peter. But Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Peter wasn't 100% sure. He wasn't totally sure that that was really Jesus out there. But he said, "Lord, if it's really you, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. Allow me, let me walk out there on that water with you." And Jesus said, verse 29, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, how cool is that? How cool is that? Here's old Peter. "Lord, if it's really you, I want to come out there where you are." And the Lord said, "Come." So Peter said, "All right." He stepped right off that boat and walked on that water. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but in my mind, when I picture this, my mind goes back to Sunday school when I was a kid. How many of you know what flannel graph is? Yeah. For you young, that's like old school PowerPoint. Okay? And I remember, I can picture a Sunday school teacher with flannel graph. And it had the dark background, and then this straight line of blue where the water was, and then a ship with a bunch of little heads on it, and then Jesus is walking on the water, and little Peter steps off the boat, and he walks on the water and goes out there to Jesus. But, that's kind of cool, and that's a neat little memory as a childhood memory, but that's not what it was like in real life, because the storm was still going on. The wind was still blowing. The ship was still being tossed. They didn't have flashlights. They didn't have spotlights. They just had the illumination from the lightning maybe in the background. And Peter steps off that boat and walks on the water. That's unbelievable. Walks on the water. Now, in that ship with Peter were the 11 other disciples. And I often wonder, Pastor, why was Peter the only one who got off that boat? I mean, you're talking like Matthew was there, James was there, John was there, and Andrew was there, and all the other guys were there. And none of them got off the boat. All those disciples, they had seen Jesus do some pretty amazing things. They were there when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached. I love reading the Sermon on the Mount early in the book of Matthew. These disciples were there when that happened. They were there as Jesus performed miracle after miracle after miracle throughout the book of Matthew. They saw Jesus heal a leper in Matthew chapter 8 and saw him heal the centurion's servant who was sick of the palsy. They were there when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law who was sick with the fever. They were there in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. You know the disciples had already been on a boat with Jesus in a storm once. And they saw him calm the storm in Matthew chapter 8. Here they are again in Matthew chapter 14 in the same situation on a boat with Jesus, and they still didn't trust him. They saw Jesus cast out demons from the maniac of Gadara. They saw Jesus heal the lame man in Matthew chapter 9 and heal the woman with the issue of blood. They saw Jesus heal two blind men and cast demon out of a dumb man. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 that he healed every sickness and disease in Galilee. Think about that for a second. He healed every sickness and disease in Galilee. That's pretty incredible. And these disciples were there, and they witnessed it. They saw it happen. And in many cases, by this point, he had given them power to cast out demons and to raise the dead and to heal the sick. And they were participating in this, and they saw it happen and were there. They were there in Matthew chapter 12 when Jesus healed the withered hand and Jesus healed the blind and the dumb. And then they were there in Matthew chapter 14 when he fed the 5,000. And now they're there on the ship in the midst of the storm, and the boat is being tossed to and fro, and they see Jesus coming to them on the water, and they're not sure it's him. They're a little bit nervous. And Peter says, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter said, "Okay." And he took that step and he stepped off the boat, but none of the other guys did. Can you imagine what they must have been thinking? "Oh, there's old Peter again. You know how he is. Oh, Peter, brother. Peter's always wanting to be in the limelight. Peter's always wanting to, you know." And I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking. But I know this. Peter was the only one who stepped off the boat. And I often wondered, why didn't anybody else? I mean, they were watching Peter walk on water. I don't know how long he walked on the water. And, you know, we get to the next verse, and it talks about how he saw the wind boisterous and began to sink and cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him up. I don't know how long he was walking on the water before that happened, but to me it doesn't matter. If you take one step on the water, that's pretty incredible. And all those other guys were still on that boat while Peter's out there walking on the water. Now, I'm not sure what kept them on the boat. Maybe they forgot. Maybe forgetfulness kept them on the boat. Maybe they forgot about all those miracles that they saw Jesus perform. Maybe they forgot about how powerful he was. Maybe they forgot about how he'd already calmed the storm once. Maybe they forgot about how he raised the dead and healed the sick and caused the blind to see. Maybe they forgot about all the stories that they had been reading and hearing about in synagogues growing up about how God performed miracles in the wilderness and parting of the Red Sea. Maybe they forgot about how powerful God was, and that's what kept them in the boat. When Jesus called them and said, "Hey, come to me," they said, "No way, man." I don't know why they did. I'd like to think I wouldn't have, but maybe they were forgetful. Maybe they were fearful. They weren't 100% sure it was him calling. Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, if it's really you, if you're really the one calling me," maybe those other guys, they weren't 100% sure God was calling them. But when Peter heard the voice of Jesus say, "Hey, Peter, come," Peter said, "Okay," and he stepped off the boat. I don't know if the other guys didn't because they were afraid. Maybe they were afraid of whether or not it was really Jesus calling them. Maybe they were afraid about what was going to happen if they stepped off that boat. Maybe they were afraid that they were going to sink, they were going to drown. Maybe they were afraid that, I don't know, maybe it was fear that kept them on the boat. But Peter stepped off the boat. He heard God calling him, and he responded. He took that step off the boat. Yeah. I don't know why those disciples stayed in their comfort zone on that boat. Maybe it was because they were nice and comfy and cozy with all their buddies. Maybe their friends kept them there.
Yeah.
Maybe they were like, "Hey, look at Peter out there. Oh, man, I ain't going out there. Stay back here. Don't go. Peter's, you know how Peter is. You never know what Peter's going to say. You never know. I ain't going anywhere near Peter. I'm staying back here. You guys, he can go out there if he wants to. I'm staying back here with you guys. I'm just going to wait and see what happens." Maybe they were just comfortable hanging out with their buddies, doing what they were doing, and let somebody else answer God's call. Let somebody else go. Let somebody else step off the boat. Let somebody else follow what Jesus asked them to do. I'm okay back here with my friends, doing my own thing.
I don't know. Maybe it was their relationship with their friends who kept them on the boat. Maybe John wanted to step off the boat, but Matthew said, no, man, don't do that. People are going to make fun of you. They're going to laugh at you if you do that. Maybe James wanted to answer Jesus' call, but Mark was like, no, James, bro, don't go out there, man. That's crazy. You can be some fanatical. Just stay back here. We know what we're doing on this ship. Everything's going to be okay. Don't you dare step out there. You're crazy, man. Let Peter go out there and make a fool of himself all he wants to. You stay back here. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell me why they stayed on the boat. All I know is that they did.
Yeah.
They didn't get off the boat. They didn't take that step of faith in obedience to Christ when Jesus said, come, they stayed. I don't know why they did that. Maybe they were forgetful of all the things that they've already seen God do. Maybe they were fearful. They didn't really know it was him. They didn't know what was going to happen. You ever been afraid? I've been afraid. Maybe they were worried what their friends were going to think. They were nice and cozy with their buddies, and they weren't going to do anything out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
They weren't going to be different. They weren't going to do anything that their friends didn't do with them. They weren't going to stand alone. But Peter got off the boat. Maybe they were concerned about their future. I mean, what happens if I step off the boat? If I step off that boat, what if I sink and I drown? If I step off that boat, I can't swim. What if I can't swim? What's going to happen to me if I step off the boat? I don't know if that's what they were concerned about. I don't know if they were worried about what their future was going to hold. I don't know if they were wondering whether or not God could take care of them. I don't know if they were wondering whether or not God could provide for them. I didn't know if they were wondering if they were going to have all the nice things that everybody else has. I don't know what kept them on the boat. But I know this. Peter got off the boat. Peter stepped off the boat, and Peter walked on water. He had a walk on water moment. A moment in his life that he was doing the impossible because he was obeying Jesus' voice.
Amen.
So I don't know tonight why those disciples didn't get off the boat. But I know they didn't. And I know this. I know that Peter didn't just dabble his toe to see if it was okay. The Bible says, when Jesus said, come, Peter came down out of the ship and walked on the water to go to Jesus. He was all in. He wasn't holding anything back. Peter wasn't concerned about what those other guys on the boat were thinking. Peter was all in when he heard Jesus call. That's what we need today. We need Christians who are going to be all in when they hear Jesus' call. We need teenagers. They're going to be all in when God calls them to ministry. They're all in. We need moms and dads that'll be all in to support those teenagers when God calls them to ministry. Whether that's here in the United States or somewhere around the world. Look at all these missionaries wrapped around this building. But we need support teams and parents and pastors and youth pastors and church members who are all in to support them. And when God calls you, when you hear Jesus' voice saying, hey, come. Going to be all in. All in. I remember when I was a kid, my son is here, he's 13. He plays baseball. I remember when I was a kid, I used to love playing baseball. Well, I didn't play, I was on the team. Right? How many of you are like that, right? I was in the Haines City, Florida Little League baseball team. And the league. And I played for the team called the Commercial Truck Stop. That was our team name. We wore orange shirts with blue letters, black pants, an orange hat with a blue emblem on it. Man, I was on that baseball team. I didn't know anything about baseball. I didn't really care. Because as long as you were on the team, and as long as you had the uniform, after the game, you could go to Rax. Rax was a little hamburger joint in town. You could go to Rax after the game, oh, yeah. Now, back then, they didn't have all this fancy schmancy stuff that they got. McFlurry and Blizzard and Frost and Eclipse and Princess and all that stuff. We had vanilla chocolate and strawberry.
Yeah.
And we were happy about it, too, bless God. All these spoiled, rotten kids today with all this caramel frappe, mappe, vente grande, whatever it is they do. We had vanilla chocolate and strawberry, bless God, and it was a great day. Man, I was on that team. I wore that uniform. And if I went to the games, it didn't matter if I played. It didn't matter if I did anything. Because after the game, I was getting a milkshake. In fact, our league had a rule. Everybody on the team had to play at least one inning in the field. And so that's where, you know, you play your obligatory inning in right field, right? That's where they put you. And it's usually like the sixth inning or seventh inning, you know, towards the end of the game when not much is really going to happen and both teams are just putting the bench warmers in there, you know. And so I go out there in right field, and I have my glove, and I'm out there in right field, and I find my spot. You look for the part in the grass that's worn out where the guy before you stood so you know where to stand. And you're out there, you know, and the guys are up there batting. You can hear your other teammates up there chattering, hey, better, better, swing better. And they're cheering on their team, and I'm out there thinking, vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry. Milkshakes after the game. I don't know if a ball was ever hit to me. I have no idea. It didn't matter because I wasn't there for baseball. I was there for milkshakes after the game. We all had to bat at least once. I didn't care about batting. I stood up there in the batter's box with the helmet on. It was too big for me. Hold that bat in my hand. The catcher's over here. You know, he's running his mouth. I look at the pitcher and I'm smiling, you know. I don't think I swung the bat. I certainly didn't hit the ball. I probably never got on base, but it didn't matter because I got milkshakes after the game. And that's all I was in it for. I wore that uniform. I sat in the dugout. I showed up at the field. I was there, but I wasn't all in. And boy, we got a lot of people sitting in churches today. They put this nice outfit on Sunday, and they show up, and they sit in church, and they're there, but they're not all in. They're not all in.
Amen. That's it.
And when Jesus says, come, let Peter do that. I'm okay back here on the boat. Just let Peter walk on the water. Can you imagine what those guys were thinking? Peter stepped off the boat, and they're like, look at what Peter's doing. Peter's walking on the water. They're probably like, stink. That was going to be me. I was going to go first. Peter's out there walking on the water, and they're standing back there on the boat in their comfort zone with all their buddies, wondering what in the world's going on. They had their opportunity, they had their moment to do something miraculous if they'd have just answered the call of God on their life. But they stayed in the boat. So here's my challenge to you tonight. Would you step off the boat?
That's good. Yes.
Would you step off the boat? Lord, if it's really you calling me, tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it.
Amen.
And if you say come, I'll step off the boat.
Amen.
I won't hesitate. I won't worry about my friends back home. I won't worry about my future. I won't forget how you were there for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. I won't forget how you were there for Daniel in the lion's den. I won't forget how you calmed the storms and healed the lepers and raised the dead. But I know without a doubt in my mind that you can take care of me, and I'll step off that boat and I'll walk on the water to go to Jesus. Because even in the middle of the storm, I'd rather be with Jesus than on the boat with my friends.
Yeah.
If he calls you tonight, will you go? Will you step off the boat? Yeah. So I ask you tonight, what's keeping you in the boat?
Amen.
Because God has a plan for every single one of us.
Yes. Right.
Young people, teenagers in the room, God has a plan for your life.
Right.
Old people in the room, God has a plan for your life too.
Right.
And it's our job to figure out what it is that God wants us to do, what is God calling us to do, and step off the boat.
Amen.
When he whispers in your heart, in your mind, preach. Mission field, Bible college, whatever it is, teach a Sunday school class, go soul winning, read your Bible, be faithful to church. What is it that God constantly reminds you, oh, stink, I should be doing that, he reminds you. Witness to my neighbor, pass out a track. What is it? He's saying, come, hey, come, come. Why in the world are you still in the boat? Step off the boat. Because even in the middle of the storm, it's better to be with Jesus than back on the boat with your friends.
Right.
Peter had his walk on water moment. The thing that Peter is remembered for today, thousands of years later, he walked on water. No other human being's ever done it. He did it, got the opportunity to do something miraculous because he answered God's call. I love going to churches like yours and reading prayer letters. I read about the miraculous things that are happening all over the world.
Amen.
Why? Because they stepped off the boat.
Yeah, right.
Because they stepped off the boat.
Amen.
I love traveling around the country. This is the 18th summer I've had the opportunity to travel with a tour group from Hiles Anderson. I've been to over 550 churches in all 50 states. People ask me all the time, Brother Collins, what's your favorite thing about traveling? I love getting to know the college students and invest in them and love on them for a little while. But my favorite thing about traveling on tour is seeing our Hiles Anderson College graduates who stepped off the boat. And they're somewhere, wherever, doing things miraculous with Jesus. Because they heard his call and they answered. And they didn't let forgetfulness or fear or their friends or concern for their future keep them on the boat. They answered God's call. They stepped off the boat. They're in ministry. They're all in, and they're seeing miraculous things happen through them with God somewhere in this world. How about you? What does God want you to do? What is he calling out to you? This world is a raging storm every day. Turn on the news, man. It's crazy what's going on in this world. And in the middle of the storm, Jesus is right there, and he's got a job for you to do.
Amen.
Will you step off the boat?
Yeah.
Let's pray together. Father,